Good morning, church. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Awesome.
I love coming to church.
Amen.
You know, what's really awesome is I really appreciate the fellowship here because we have a little fellowship break. And I remember years ago when I was going to all different other churches, I remember going to churches where they just said, meet your neighbor. And I was like, hello, and it was so stiff and nobody had anything to say. Here we give you 4 minutes to have a fellowship break and you guys start talking. And I just really love the kingdom of God and just love the fellowship that we have here in this church. I want to welcome, we have Ben and Joanne that have just moved in. You guys can stand up so everybody knows who you are. Stand up, okay. They are now in Enterprise. They're from the Annapolis Church, correct? And so they're out there in Enterprise, and so make sure you get to know them and welcome them into the fellowship here today. It's been a great week. Friday night we had singles Bible talk at our house, and that was just a great time together with the singles ministry. Just love having people over our house. And then yesterday we went out to Columbus and got to see Columbus for our first time. So it was really awesome. Got to hang out with Rick and the family, and it was just a really, really awesome time out there. And we just love Alabama. We're just having so much fun. But let's go ahead. Let's start out this morning with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father, thank you so much, God, that you love us so the way that you do, God. We can't even grasp how much you love us. And Father, we're here today because of your love. Father, we're here today because of the grace that you've shown each one of us in our lives. And Father, we are so grateful that we get to be a part of such a great church. But Father, the most incredible thing is the grace that you have given to each one of us. And today I pray that you would really help us to start to get a grasp on what grace is and how important it is in our life as Christians. And Father, please help us to learn from the scriptures what you want us to learn today. And let your Spirit fill up this room. And God, I really pray that today, and as we go through this series on grace, that you will really fill us up with something new even in our heart, God, just a new love and a new zeal and excitement for you because we're so grateful for what you've given us. And Father, we just love you so much. Thank you so much for this day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 So, as I said, we are starting a series on grace, and it's called Amazing Grace, and today is going to be called The Performance Treadmill. Okay? And so, can I confess something to you?
Come on.
It's okay? Grace is one of those things that I've had a hard time really understanding through the years. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, I've seen other people, and they just really get it. And for me, coming into into the church, it was just really something that was hard for me to really, truly understand. And I think what I found over the years is there are a lot of people like me. You know, maybe you're not one of them, but I found over the years that there's a lot of people that really, we get grace, we understand a little bit of it, but we don't really get it in the heart because for whatever reasons, maybe how we grew up or different circumstances in our life. And so when we see the grace of God, it's kind of this foreign thing that we now have to try to wrap our minds around to really, truly get. And so we've been talking a little bit about the love of Jesus, and really this is now going to go into weeks of the love of Jesus and the grace. We're going to be talking about grace. But, you know, for me, it's always been something that's hard. When I was growing up, I remember getting my first job, and I was working in a grocery store, and I worked harder than everybody else. And I started raising up in the company, you know, as a young guy, I started making good money, because I figured out that the harder I work, the more I'm going to receive. And also in just other areas of life, whether it been school or family stuff, you know, I really learned that the harder I work and the more that I do, that's what's going to make me get more. But when we think about grace, we're going to find out that a lot of grace works so much not like that. It's not like the way that I think or that some of us think. But grace, is really an incredible thing. And so I felt like it was worth it to spend some time on the subject of grace. I feel like this is one of the topics when I ask people all the time, what's the one thing you want to hear preached about? And I think for the most part, it's been overwhelming. It's been grace. And so I'm really feeling there's a lot of people just like me that want to get a better grasp on what grace is. And so we're not going to solve it all today. We're going to dive in today, and we're going to figure out some of grace, but we're going to, you know, over the weeks here, we're going to really, really get it together as a church. I think a lot of people have been afraid to teach grace, because when you teach grace, you give all the control to God, and it's not about us anymore. And some people feel like, well, if you teach a lot of grace, then maybe people are not going to love Jesus the way they need to. Or maybe they're not going to do as much as they need to. Maybe they're not going to obey the scriptures. Because then they feel like they can just sit back and enjoy the grace. But I really believe in what I understand about grace. I don't have it all, but I've done a little bit of studying. What I understand about grace is that the more you get grace, the more you get it, the more you get what Jesus has given us, the more you fall in love with Jesus. The more you fall in love with Him. You have a deep relationship. You don't need to be told to go and do things anymore, because we do it out of the overflowing, you know, just receiving that love from Christ. We want to give it back. You know, and I think so much we get into this, like, I gotta do. Now, doing is good, but not sometimes the way that we do. And we'll see here in just a second. So, you know, if you don't understand grace, I really want to welcome you this morning to understand it along with me as I learn. Because this is something I feel like is really important for the church and for each one of us individually. So we're going to be talking about the performance treadmill. And the first part to understanding grace is we got to understand that we're bankrupt. You know, what does it mean to be bankrupt? You know, when you think about bankruptcy, you know, well, there's financial bankrupt, and that means that you're reduced to the state of financial ruin. A person or business that is unable to pay debts because they have no more assets. Usually a person or business will still have a few assets that can be sold to partially pay off the debt. And so sometimes when we think of financial bankruptcy, we think of, well, you know, we think I have no more money, but I still have my clothes or whatever. I can still sell a few things. But what we're going to see today is that through spiritual bankruptcy, that means that we have no assets, that we have nothing we could hand over to God as even a partial payment of the debt that He paid for us. Jesus paid the total, the 100%, the total price for our debt. And that's the first thing that we have really got to understand, is that we're bankrupt. We're bankrupt. We're spiritually bankrupt. Each one of us, whether you think it or not, we have nothing to repay Jesus for what He's done. We have not a thing. You can't even take a piece of clothing. You have nothing to sell. But sometimes we don't really understand that. We don't understand that that's the kind of bankrupt we are before God. And in Romans 3, in verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." You know, we are all spiritually destitute. You know, it says here that no one is righteous. Sometimes we think that we're so righteous that we deserve something. But the scripture here says that no one's righteous, not even one. No one understands, no one sees God. I mean, you know, when I look at this, I think I just have nothing to give to pay God for what He's done. There's nothing I can do to pay back that debt. He's paid it all for me. Another scripture in Isaiah 64, It says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. You know, this scripture says that our righteous acts are compared to being like filthy rags. I want you to think of the best thing that you have to give back to God. The most, maybe it's something in your wealth. Maybe it's something in your talents. Maybe it's something in your abilities. But it says here that even at our very best, our righteous acts are like filthy rags. You know, and sometimes we think that, well, we have something so good going on that almost maybe that God owes me something. You know, but the reality is I have nothing to pay back. I have nothing in my life that can pay back what Jesus has done for me. There is nothing there. And, and that's the way that we've really got to think about it. There's two kind of bankruptcies. You know, if you hopefully you guys haven't had to file bankruptcy, but some people have. And there are two kinds of bankruptcies, and there's actually more than this, but these are the two major ones that people use. There's Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and that's a permanent bankruptcy. That means that I have nothing left to pay. I have nothing to sell. I have nothing to give. I'm just done. I have nothing. And so you let the banks take over. You know, in Chapter 11, bankruptcy is really a temporary bankruptcy. And we hear a lot about this. You know, we hear companies that file bankruptcy, and you go, wait a minute, I see them still. If they filed bankruptcy, what are they still doing in business? Well, it's a temporary bankruptcy because they have something that they figure they need to reorganize their company. They need to figure out, hey, what can we sell? What can we do to start paying off our debt again? And a lot of these companies, they stay in business and they do fine. You know, some of these companies that you probably know of that have filed Chapter 11 and have successfully stayed in business, one is General Motors. I think Chrysler is up there as well. But General Motors, they filed for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. But yet they relied on government bailout. So they knew that they were going to get some money from the government. That's why they were able to put it on hold kind of with the Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and they got it all paid for. Eastman Kodak, some of you guys don't know because all we know is digital cameras. But Eastman Kodak is actually still in business, and I believe they're doing fine. But they had to, their technology got old and stuff like that. And so when they ran out of money, basically what they did was they said, we have no more money left, but we've got a bunch of patents. And so we can just go out and we can sell all these patents, and so we'll make some money and we can end up staying in business. And there's many, many more companies that have done this. Some of the ones you might know, Hostess, Sbarro Pizza, Quiznos, Samsonite, Delta Airlines, among a whole bunch of other airlines, Kmart, Eddie Bauer, Bloomingdale's, and a whole bunch more have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And, you know, today as a Christian, you know, all of us, when we became a Christian, I want to ask you something. What was the kind of bankruptcy that you filed for? What kind of bankruptcy did you file for? Did you file a Chapter 7, which was permanent, meaning I'm going to the waters of baptism knowing that there's nothing that I can do to repay Jesus for what he's done for me? Or did we file a Chapter 11 bankruptcy that says, you know, there's nothing right now, but maybe if I go and work a little bit, and if I start doing a little bit, I can start repaying that to Jesus. And so, which kind of bankruptcy did you file? And I think for most of us, would say it would be Chapter 7. But I think if we really examined our lives, what we would figure out is that a lot of us have really filed for Chapter 11. Because, you know, we trusted in Christ alone for salvation. We trusted in him to get into the waters of baptism when we decided to become a Christian. But over time, what happens is we start reverting back to a works mentality. where we start thinking there's something I can do. The more that I do, God's going to start throwing the blessings on me. And in fact, when we go through hard times, and this kind of tells you how much we think like this, when we go through hard times, anybody ever struggled in their faith?
Yes.
Anybody had a hard time? I think all of us. I see some hands not going up. I have to say, you're probably in sin right now because you're probably lying. We all struggle, right? We all struggle sometimes, and we all go through hard times. And when we go through those hard times, you know, I think a lot of times what we feel like, you know, maybe you got into some kind of sin that maybe creeped back up in your life and you got back into that sin. Or maybe you're married and, you know, you had a fight with your spouse. And I think sometimes we can feel like, well, temporarily my blessings from God have kind of gone away. And then somehow, and eventually, as I start feeling better again, they start coming back. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, you know, but I think sometimes we do because we are such a works focus in our mind. I mean, some of us are just naturally focused on works. That's just who we are. We learned that growing up. But really, that tells us a lot. If we change, if we think we're going to get more blessings because we're doing better and less blessings because we're not doing so good, we really, really don't understand the grace of Jesus. Because there's nothing you can do. When you file for chapter 11, there's nothing you can do to pay back for what Jesus has done for us. But it's really easy to fall into that mentality, right? Where we start thinking that the more I do, the better I am before God and the more blessings He's going to give me. You know, we're not the only ones. Peter actually had that same issue. In Matthew 19:27, Peter answered him, says, "We left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" So Peter was thinking, well, we gave up everything, so now what's for me? What's in it for me? There's going to be something more now because I did this great deed. And so we're not alone, at least I'm not alone in this struggle. I'm not alone in thinking that sometimes that the better I am spiritually, the more I'm going to get. Because even Peter, one of the great ones, you know, he had the same type of issues. He was thinking that his performance was going to equal the blessings that he was going to get in his life. And I know it's that way for me. I can think of one situation, you know, where I was, you know, Marge and I had a little fight, and, you know, we don't do that, of course, because we're the minister. But yeah, we do. We have fights just like anybody else. It's just a matter of how you work them out. I remember walking out of the house and just not feeling resolved and not feeling good. And then I went to a place. And I forgot where what I just remember. This has happened more than once. That's why I can't put the people and the place together. But I know I went there and I saw people that were right in front of me that I thought in the back of my mind, these people, God put me here for a reason to share with these people. But I don't have anything to share with them right now. Because I felt like because of where I was spiritually at that moment, that God wasn't going to give me the blessings that I deserve. And again, I don't know if any of you guys have ever felt something like that. I'm just being real with you. Because this is something I've really had to wrestle with my whole life, is really feeling like it's about me instead of feeling like it's about God. And so we all, in some ways, are legalistic by nature. Think about a day when you've fallen on your face spiritually. Do you feel like you could just go and somebody walks up to you and he says, "Hey, hi, my name's John." And the guy's just like, "This is the guy I've been praying for." But you just got done sinning or got done bumping with your wife. Would you be able to share your faith with that person knowing that God was in control, not me and how I'm doing? You know, and I think this is something, you know, that I really want to get. You know, we live in a world where it's very easy to fall into this legalistic nature. We live in a world where, you know, at your job, in most cases, the more you work, what do you get? You get more money. And if somebody said responsibility, and that's true, you get more responsibility because the more you do, the higher you climb up the ladder. And that's what's going to stand out. You know, the harder you work, the more that you produce. The more you study in school, the better grades you get. Now, in those issues, you do need to work hard. But when we think about Jesus, those same rules don't apply. The same rules don't apply, but I think often because we live in a world where things are given to us by how hard we work, we start thinking that the more I do, the more blessings I'm going to get. The more God's going to open up the gates of heaven, just everything around me is going to turn to gold because I'm so awesome in how I'm serving God. And I think this follows us into a lot of different areas. I'm going to just talk about a few here, and there's many, many more. I think about in evangelism. We think sometimes that the more people we meet, or people are going to actually come to you because of how awesome you're doing. We think that sometimes that I'm going to go out there because I'm doing so well spiritually right now, that's the reason why someone's going to want to know Christ. You know, But I started observing this years ago, and I started seeing that some people that I knew were in big sin in their life went and talked to their friend, and their friend got baptized. And I'm looking at me, and I'm going, I'm doing better than them. Why am I not getting more blessings than the person who's not doing good spiritually? See, because the rules that we go by don't apply when it comes to God. You know, when it comes to God, He wants us to go out and evangelize as a response to grace. Yeah. He wants us to go out and do what we do as a response, not as, I'm so great, therefore God has going to bless me. You know, I think another area is in our quiet times. You know, and again, I'm not saying don't have quiet times. Don't hear me wrong. But I think sometimes we feel like that in fact, I've seen people that miss their quiet time in the morning. They feel so rotten about it the whole day. And I said, well, why don't you just go have your quiet time now? Why don't you just go spend time with God now? The day's not over. Because we have this kind of legalistic thing in our mind. Again, I'm not saying don't have your quiet times in the morning. I'm not saying don't. But I believe that when you really get grace, you're going to want to go to God. And no one's going to have to tell you, did you have your quiet time today? Don't you hate that when somebody calls you on the phone, did you have your quiet time today? Did you have your quiet time today? I mean, I'd hate that if someone nagged me like that. But the question is do we do it as a response to grace? Or do we do it because it's one other thing that we have to do as a work to try to earn our salvation? Remember, we're bankrupt. We have nothing that we can pay back. Coming to church, you know, sometimes we think, well, coming to church, if I show up at everything, again, I'm not giving you a reason to not show up to church. I want you to show up to church. But if you show up to church because you have to, and the more I show up to church means the more blessings I'm going to get, you probably do need to come to church more to learn some more, but that's not why you should be coming to church. You know, sometimes we can feel like that. We can walk around thinking, well, I do more than what this person does, therefore God is going to bless me more. And when we start thinking like that, really what we're saying is we don't understand the grace that Jesus has for us. We don't understand it. We think that the more things we do, whether it's sharing, reading, praying, pick a subject, pick a thing in your life, we think that that equals the more that God's going to bless us. And we're going to find out that that's totally wrong. We'll just find out in life because God will not always give us what we think we deserve. God gives us more than we deserve, and He's already given that to us. He's given us salvation. He's given us something so incredible that he doesn't need to give us a blessing because you're doing good. He wants you to do good because of how much you love what He's done for you. You know, and I think that this is super important because for a lot of us, we can spend our whole Christian life going through this. We can spend our whole Christian life kind of going through this cycle of trying so hard to make, you know, to do what's right, trying so hard to do, and do, thinking that our blessings are going to stem and come right from those things. You know, some scriptures, one scripture I like here is in Galatians 3:3. He says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" Now, I got another version for you I think you'll like even better. This is the Message version. I don't read this that often, but I thought this was pretty interesting. It says, "Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to the message, God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they can complete by their own efforts what God was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Do you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up." I like that, because it says when we start living in this cycle, that's kind of this crazy cycle, we start thinking that I can earn my grace, I can earn my salvation by how awesome I am. And that's really what we're saying. Because when we say I got to this level, like I do it all perfect, well, I'm giving props to myself. Like, I'm so awesome. That's why God is going to do that scripture, right? It says that you're a crazy person when you believe that. We're crazy. And we start going on this cycle. We start thinking, and we find out all the time that it never works. But we keep on going after this cycle where we feel like we just want to earn it and do it. And that's what's going to give me the blessings. And what that's called is the works treadmill. You know, you feel, you just start running. It's kind of like this dog. You know, he's running on this treadmill, and he's got the hot dog out before him. And at the end of the day, this dog is never going to get to this hot dog. The only thing he could do is get off the treadmill and go get the hot dog. But where it is right now, he'll never get that hot dog. And for us, it's the same thing. We get on our treadmill. You know, we get on our works treadmill. And we're trying to go after grace, you know. And this guy's saying, "Well, I'm working my way towards grace, you know. I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do this, and God's gonna bless me, and I'm gonna get to heaven because of how awesome I am." Well, what happens when you do that cycle? Remember, the scripture says you're crazy. You know, this guy says, "I'm getting tired." Because you keep doing that cycle, what happens is we get burnt out in our relationship with God. You ever heard people say spiritual burnout? Do you know that that's nowhere to be found in the Bible? Yeah. Do you know that you can't find that in the Bible at all? The words are not there, and nothing even close to it. But somehow we kind of put in our Christian vocabulary, we say, "Well, I'm burned out as a Christian." Well, a lot of times the burnout comes is because we don't have a proper understanding of grace. And what happens is we start working and working and working until we get so tired on that works treadmill that we fall on our face. That's what will happen. That's what will happen when we start believing that how awesome I am and the works that I do are going to get me something in heaven. They're going to bring the blessings to my life. Then what happens is we're just going to fall flat on our face. We're going to fall flat on our face. We can't chase something that we never can attain. The price has already been paid. The debt has already been paid by Jesus. You can't repay it. And when you try to run after repaying that debt because of all the things you do, this will happen time and time and time again. It will be an endless cycle that will get you to the point where you're going to say, and you're going to use the words that are not in the Bible, "I'm just burnt out as a Christian. I'm just burnt out." See, we've got to understand grace, because grace is so important. You know, the Bible says in Romans 11:6, it says, "And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. Grace would no longer be grace. And so it says there, it says that it's if it's by grace, it is no longer by works. That means that works and grace cannot equal each other. There's no such thing. You put those in the same. Now, we do need to work as Christians, and we're going to get there another time. We don't need to deal with that today. You're going to get to doing things for God, but they won't be works. They're going to be a response to the love of Jesus. There'll be a response, and that's a lot different than works. But grace and works, they don't go together. And what happens when we bring the works mentality into our Christian life, it says that grace would no longer be grace. Basically, we take away the most incredible thing that Jesus has given us, and we really cheapen it. And we say, well, your grace is really not all that good. I have a better way of doing it. You know, we really need to understand that everything that in our life, Jesus, he paid the price when he gave up his son on the cross, or God, when he gave up his son on the cross. Ephesians 2 in verse 4, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You know, that's a great scripture, and it says that it's because of his great love for us. What you enjoy as a Christian today is not because of how much you've worked and how awesome you are. What you enjoy today as a Christian, and even talking about the fellowship we have in this room, all of that we have is because the price has already been paid for the debt, and because he has a great love for each one of us. God has a great love for us. Jesus has a great love for us. And it says there he's rich in mercy. He made us alive in Christ. Sometimes we think we made ourselves alive. No, it was Christ that made us alive because of his great love for us. And it says there, it says, it's by grace you have been saved. There is no other reason that you are saved today. The only reason that a person can stand in a right place before God, the only way that a person can stand with their sins forgiven and have the gift of the Holy Spirit, is because Jesus loves us. It's because of the grace. It's because he did something for us that we don't deserve. He's given us everything we need. He's paid the debt. You don't need to try to pay the debt anymore. The debt's been paid. So get off of the treadmill. Get off of the treadmill and start really thinking about grace, and really start praying that you can understand grace the way that grace should be understood, the way that Jesus wants us to. It says there that he shows us the incomparable riches of his grace. And I'll say that sometimes I don't think of them as incomparable riches and grace together. Because it's not that I don't think about that. It's just that sometimes I don't think of the grace. There's too much of me involved. You know, and here it says that it's incomparable riches. That means there's nothing in this life. There's no money. There's no job. There's no family. There's no person. There is nothing that can compare with how awesome the grace of Jesus is. Nothing. But the question is do we walk around feeling like that all the time? Do we grasp that in our Christian life? You know, we are not saved by works. We are saved by 100% grace, period. You know, and I think sometimes we cheapen grace. And I think a lot of times we've heard things on TV by religious people, and we go, well, that's not the way grace should be, so we stay away from the subject. But you know what? Let's not let the religious world ruin grace for us. You know, let's not let people that we've seen do it wrong ruin grace for us. Yeah. Let's make sure that we really go and we try to to wrap our arms and our hearts around this idea of grace and really feel the love that Jesus has given us. It's been paid for. It's been paid for by the cross. I got the best secret for you. I got the best kept secret in the world for you. The best kept secret is that Jesus already paid it all. He's not only purchased your forgiveness of sins and your ticket to heaven. He purchased every blessing and every answer to prayer you will ever receive. Every one of them with no exceptions. That's the amazing grace that Jesus has given us. And we've got to get off of the performance treadmill. And we got to really try to understand this and really start living our lives as people that are compelled by grace. We're going to do incredible things in the city or whatever city you live. We're going to do all that stuff. But we're only going to do it if we're compelled by the grace. We're not going to do it because of how awesome and how much we do. We're going to do it because of the grace. And I think as a church, we really need to decide that, yeah, whether you like the sermon or not, you got the topic, is grace. I really want to encourage you all to go home and start studying it out. Start studying it out. Start trying. If maybe you feel like, I get it. I get grace. Well, then good. Get it some more. You know, but I think a lot of us here think like, I got some ways to go to really, truly get it. I want to encourage you as a church, let's go after studying this. We're going to be doing this for the next weeks because there's a lot to talk about with grace. But let's become a church who does things because of our love for Jesus. Amen. And the grace that he's given, not because you have a duty to do.